All right, here we go. Last week, let's do a little cleanup here. Gary and David Bailey got in a little discussion, and since David's not here today to defend himself, Gary, you want to give your answer to your question from last week?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Your question was, the righteous have sinned, and if they have sinned and have been forgiven, will that be brought up in judgment?
You want me to give my answer?
Yeah.
I don't think you
really know. Okay. Okay. Yeah, he said no. And there's several scriptures, Hebrews 8:12, 10:17, Acts 3:19, basically are all saying your sins will be wiped away. If they're wiped away, they won't be remembered. Okay? So, then we had... Yeah, yeah. But the sins have been forgiven are not remembered. Is the point. Right. And is Wayne here or did he leave? I know he had family here. Are you still in there? All right. Wayne asked the question, how many times do you have to sin again and again before you lose your salvation? And I tried to refuse not to answer that question. If you remember, I tried to put it off, but Wayne went on and said, and I took this off of the recording. You're forgiven not by the number of times you've sinned. What matters is you have faith and belief in Jesus, your Savior. And I'm kind of skipping some of the things. If you don't choose that, then you won't be forgiven. It will not matter how many times you've sinned. And that's true, but I want to add something to that. Not trying to put Wayne down. He was headed in that direction. What we have to remember is God will forgive a repeated sin as many times as we are willing to repent, as long as we are not sinning intentionally and taking advantage of His grace. If you're trying your best and failing, He will forgive the sincere repeated sinner. So as long as we have the right heart, He knows our heart. If we have the right heart, and we ask for forgiveness, He'll forgive that sin multiple times. So, any discussions or comments about those two items from last week?
Lynn, I don't think a person can, quote unquote, lose their salvation.
Okay.
I think a person can walk away from God, but if you lose it, I think we've almost taught that in the past.
Well, Church of Christ tradition has, yeah.
Well, and I think it's important that we understand that losing it, I mean, it's not like your car keys or your phone or something. You lose it.
Yeah.
But I totally believe
a person
again. Can consciously walk away.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have scripture to verify that or back up that. So.
But, and the reason I think it's important is it gives us assurance.
Yeah.
Because how many of us, especially sometimes in the way we were raised, feel like we're basketball in and out of salvation.
I agree.
And that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And I told a story when I was 12 years old, and I was baptized. I think I was 11, maybe 12, but I can remember thinking, I wish somebody was shot and killed me when I came up out of heaven. That way I know I was in heaven. I didn't have time to sin. That is terrible, terrible thinking. Why was I thinking that? Someone must have taught me that, or at least alluded to that, for me to think that way.
Yep.
And I get me a preacher.
You've already gone 4.5 hours. All right. Solomon actually talks about some of that later on. We're going to get into some of that. So, all right, let's go to today's lesson. Ecclesiastes 4:4-16. Envy prevents people from finding satisfaction in their work. Many times we're too busy keeping up with the Joneses. For many of those who work outside the home, how to balance work with the rest of life is the next injustice with which Solomon wrestles. The fool is someone who refuses to work. Just as laziness is harmful and should be avoided, so is working without the ability to enjoy one's work. The challenge is to strike a balance. Work, but do not work too much. Enjoy life, but do not be lazy. Work is good if it is done appropriately in a fitting way. Rest is good too if enjoyed fittingly. That's from Jeffrey Myers. It is senseless for a person to accumulate wealth without the ability to enjoy it. The workaholic is a person who works for the sake of work and acquires for the sake of acquisition. Concerning friendship, Solomon highlights the protection enjoyed by numbers. Just one is not good, two is better, three is best. As a comparison, he uses the example of a rope with three strands. Jesus supported this idea in Matthew 18, 19, and 20, and again in Luke 10, 1, when he sent the 70 out two by two. Working together, you accomplish twice as much and get more difficult jobs done by encouraging one another. Friendships have a huge impact on your mental health and happiness. Good friends relieve stress, provide comfort and joy, and prevent loneliness and isolation. Solomon says it's better to be a poor but wise youth than to be a rich but foolish king. Even though the wise youth ascended to the throne, he is eventually forgotten, ultimately rendering his wisdom useless. He will be forgotten soon and replaced with another. So the goal is not a pursuit of what's under the sun. Rather, when you are pursuing and valuing what's beyond the sun, we are only then able to appropriately enjoy what's under the sun. Any comments? So who would like to read verses 4 through 16 of Ecclesiastes 4? 13 verses.
Again I saw that for all toil and every skillful work a man is envied by his neighbor. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. The fool folds his hands and consumes his own flesh. Better is a handful with quietness than both hands full together with toil and grasping for the wind. Then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone without companion. He has neither son nor brother. Yet there is no end to all his labor, nor is his eye satisfied with riches. But he never asks, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? This also is vanity and a grave misfortune. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone, whom when he fails, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Better is a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who will be admonished no more. For he who comes out of prison to be king, although he was born poor in his kingdom, I saw all the living who walked under the sun. They were rich with the second youth who stands in his place. There was no end of all the people over whom he was made king. Yet those who come afterward will not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and grasping for the wind.
All right. Before we go on, does anyone have a translation that has a verse 17 for chapter 4? Okay. Probably not, because there are some older translations.
In Hebrew text, 5:1
yeah.
Is number 17.
Correct. And we'll talk about that more next week, actually. But I just check and see what translations y'all are using. So, question number one. What did Solomon observe about labor and skillful work in verse 4? What did Solomon observe about labor and skillful work?
People envy you.
Okay. Why would people envy you, Connie?
I have no idea.
Because of her skills.
All right. Does anybody have a New American Standard? Does someone using a translation that says something other than envy uses another word?
Chosen.
What?
Jealousy.
Chosen?
No, jealousy.
Jealousy. Okay. That's one of them. Rivalry is a word that's used sometimes for there. So the point is, in my opinion, it prompts rivalry or jealousy or envy with one's neighbor.
I think it's just like what our camera.
Brenda's husband.
Yeah. That work is valued. I mean, I still think work is valued.
Yeah.
Especially the older we are, work was valued, and people really thought people who worked, they were just great.
Yeah.
And I think we've gone away from that. Thank heaven. I think a little bit.
I think if that word all was changed to only.
Yeah.
I saw that only toil and only achievements from that's the only thing that's in their life.
Yeah.
That is probably.
Yeah. And we're actually going to talk about workaholic here shortly.
And we have seen people like that.
Yeah. Keeping up with the Joneses is the point I think Solomon's trying to make is, you know, if I ride on a trash truck and you're an attorney up in the high rise, you know, I may be jealous of you or vice versa. You may be jealous of me. But, you know, that economic level is usually different. You're not on the same level and people get jealous of their work. And what does he say about all of this in verse 4? Chasing the wind. Again, vanity, meaningless. In the end, all of this is just going to not mean anything. So that, how does he describe the fool who doesn't work in verse 5?
Ruins himself.
He ruins himself. Okay. That's NIV. Does anyone have a different wording?
She's got the New American Standard and it says it's consuming their own flesh.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's pretty
harsh, isn't it? Yeah. The fool folds his hands and consumes his own flesh, is New American Standard. Then we'll have King James. King James says, eateth his own flesh.
What does the folding his hands mean?
All right, let's talk about that. What does that mean, Marie?
I'm asking you.
A good teacher or a counselor answers a question with a question, right?
Just sits back and lets others do it.
Or
right.
Says, God will provide.
All right.
I don't have to worry about that. God will provide. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to participate. I don't have to care. I don't have to share.
Taking sovereignty to the extreme on the end, one way or the other. Anybody else have a thought? What is the body language when you cross your arms? Huh? Defenses of one. What's another one? You're closed. You close your mind, right? The idea is he is unwilling to open himself up to alternative views or exploring the whole story. He stubbornly believes his short-sighted view and begins to consume himself with the implications and hypothetical consequences of his assumed conclusion. So he's basically cutting off, he's turning off any new ideas, and he's just basically absorbing himself with what he already believes, already thinks.
Sorry, man, we were thinking the same thing. You're cold.
Oh, y'all cold?
No.
Oh, you're cold, yeah. That is a sign, yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, when the translator is using the term consumes his own flesh or eating his own flesh, something of that nature, is he advocating cannibalism?
This is you shot yourself in the foot. Nobody else did.
Okay, all right. That is true. So what was Paul's comment in 2 Thessalonians 3:10 about people who do not work? Anybody remember? If you don't work, you don't eat. If you have anything to say, just raise your hand or jump in there. We're trying to make up some time here, so we're moving fast. So what is better than two handfuls with the work that tries to chase the wind in verse 6? What is better than two handfuls with the work that tries to chase the wind? One handful of what? Okay. One who is alone, who labors endlessly for riches that do not satisfy, who never considers for whom he is toiling and depriving himself of much good. Wait, I jumped. That's the wrong answer. Excuse me. Handful of peaceful rest is better than two fistfuls of worried work. So how can that be? When we're talking about work, if you don't work, you don't eat. But now he's talking about rest. Why is he talking about rest when he just got talking about working?
That's life. Because you said
there is a balance. There is a balance, yeah. Do what, Christy? Well, as we're going to talk about here shortly, sometimes too much work is not good, right? If your priorities are in the wrong place, too much work. Yes, ma'am.
Or maybe the one that, the first amount, not the greater, is like contentment, which Paul definitely wrote about that, being content with all things, whether with in plenty or with nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Isn't it about God rested on the seventh day, so we're supposed to rest on Sunday, and we're supposed to work Monday too?
We need at least one day out of the seven as rest, yeah. And that's a spiritual rest, that's a physical rest, and it's been proven, and Luke, I think, has backed me up before. If you just work all day, every day, for all the time, your body actually starts breaking down. Is that pretty well true?
Yeah. So,
mind and body. So you need the rest. And like he said here, just a little rest goes a long way. That's why that 20-minute power nap in the afternoon is very good. Yes, Jared?
Yeah, well, you're losing presence. You work as to the Lord.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's our main work to the Lord. But can we overwork that work to the Lord?
Oh, yeah.
So, how many?
Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I might have too much and disown you and say, "Where's the Lord?" Or I might become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Proverbs 30:7-9.
And who wrote Proverbs?
Solomon.
Well,
these are the sayings of Augur.
Yeah. How many times have we heard about preacher's family who falls apart because the preacher is gone all the time? Are the elders the same way? They're doing church work and they neglect their family at times. So I think we all probably can say we know people that has happened to. So that's why we call their kids PKs and EKs. Huh? Preacher's kids and elders' kids.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
We're educating y'all today, aren't we?
Just a second.
So number 5, what is described as vanity and a serious misfortune in 7 and 8? What is described as vanity and a serious misfortune?
Being alone.
Being alone is one, and then what's the second part of that?
No contentment
in his work. He labors endlessly for riches that do not satisfy. He never considers for whom he is toiling and depriving himself of much good. Again, someone could be neglecting their family, because they're out there trying to make the almighty dollar, so to speak. Any questions or comments?
Now you're getting real personal.
I'm stepping on toes now, huh?
At least they're here to be stepped on.
So number six, this is not from the scriptures. This is your own answer here. What is a friend, or who is a friend?
Friend is somebody who is running in and everybody else is running out.
Okay, that's one way to put it. Anybody else have something else?
Person who knows all about you and still likes you.
Yeah. Despite knowing all about you, they still like you. Did you say something, Marie?
Okay.
Solomon mentioned that somebody that helps you when you fall down and protects you and provides for your day-to-day basic needs.
Your basic needs if you need them. Friends are people we feel close to, a person attached to another by feeling of affection or personal regard, a favored companion. Friends are people who have similar interests, people who care about us, and people we can trust. Friends offer support and understanding when we really need it.
They also pray for you.
Yeah, and they'll pray with you and cry with you is one way of putting it. So how does the preacher illustrate the value of friendship, verses 9 through 12? How does the preacher illustrate the value of friendship? You have touched on it. Two working together accomplish more, the principle of synergy. Two can withstand one, three can withstand two. That's strength of numbers. Having someone to help you if you fall, they'll pick you up. Surviving a cold night by sharing body heat. Okay. Could be. Yeah.
And if you think about it, if three was really better, wouldn't Jesus have to set them out three by three?
Well, you said about the third one being God, that's why it was two, because the third one is God.
Yeah. And if you think it's God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, Trinity.
Well, that was an example I came up with, was the Trinity. The three strands could be the Trinity. So, but you do make a good point that two friends and God is extra strength. So, yes, ma'am.
I want to share something that was exciting to me a few days ago. I was in light traffic on the road. I saw a license plate that said God in 3P and God in three persons.
Yeah.
That just made me so excited.
Yeah. Good. Where were they from? You remember? Florida? Oh, okay.
That was a preacher.
I was wondering who that was following me so close.
Is it okay to have some friends closer than others? Who was Jesus' close friends? Back up. Which was his close friends?
John.
Which was his close friends?
Friends were the disciples.
All right, the disciples or apostles. Also, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, you could throw in that pile. Who was his three closer friends?
Peter, James, and John.
Who was his closest friend?
John.
Yeah, that's why he asked John to take care of Mary.
Because he was the only one there at the foot of the cross.
He was the only one that didn't run away, right? Yeah. A true friend. He went. So what is not quickly broken in verse 12? We talked about the three-stranded rope. What is better than being an old and foolish king in verse 13?
Young and wise.
It better be poor, but wise and young. So if you're young, wise and poor, you're better off than a king.
And old and rich.
And of course, age is relative, right?
Yeah.
As we're
really old.
As we're talking to a senior adult class. No offense, David Layman. So, number 10. In your own words, explain verse 16. Read verse 16, and then I want someone to explain it to me. I said, in your own words. Your own words. Go ahead, Deborah.
It says, there was no end to all the people who were before them, but those who came later were not pleased with the successor. This too is meaningless, chasing after the wind. But it says, and stood, the people who were before them stood before them and served them, and those who came later were the next generation.
Okay. Anybody have a footnote different? I've discovered most footnotes pretty well run the same line, so I think they all copy each other. I found this from the Message, which of course is not a translation, it's more of a paraphrase. But for verses 13 through 16, he kind of grouped it all together. A poor child with some wisdom is better off than an old but foolish king who doesn't know which end is up. I saw a youth just like this, start with nothing and go from rags to riches. And I saw everyone rally to the rule of this young successor to the king. Even so, the excitement died quickly. The throngs of people soon lost interest. Can't you see it's only smoke and spitting into the wind? That's from the Message. So, any comments or questions about the questions? So Solomon recognizes a deep satisfaction in his work, but in other ways he sees that it too is like a vapor. Jesus spoke very frankly about those who are unwilling to see work Jesus spoke very frankly about those who were unwilling to see work and wealth in the proper perspective. Work, possessions, and wealth must never be seen as ends to themselves. Friends, working together can get more accomplished. If one falls, the other can help. If one is cold, the other can provide warmth. If one is attacked, the other can defend. People who find true friends are richer than persons with money only and wiser than those with learning only. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. True friendship is one aspect of life that should not be declared to be meaningless or vanity. Finally, concerning being popular, Walt Disney said, as far as I can remember, being a celebrity has never helped me make a good picture, command the obedience of my daughter, or impress my wife. It doesn't even seem to help keep fleas off our dog. And if being a celebrity won't keep one an advantage over a couple fleas, then I guess there can't be that much in being a celebrity after all. So remember, it is better to be faithful than famous, but don't confuse fame with success. Lady Gaga is one and Helen Keller is the other.
Who's the first one?
Lady Gaga. You know who that is?
Yeah.
you know who Lady Gaga is? You know she was trained, she's got a classical music training. I think it's Juilliard, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. So anyway. Huh? What a waste.
She does do classical
sometimes. She does do some, yeah. Didn't she do... Never mind. I was going to say, I was Perry Como or Tony Bennett. All right, next week we'll look at Ecclesiastes. Since most of you are using modern translations, we'll look at verses 1 through 7. If you got an older Hebrew translation, it's going to be 4:17 through 5:6. So just to get you confused. So any final questions, comments? Otherwise. Deborah's 1 minute off. So all right, everyone have a blessed week. Be safe. Stay cool. Heat index is gonna be in the 3 digits. So thank you.